Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
It is 10:05. I would like to call this meeting to order. Sue, can we please go ahead with the roll call?
Certainly. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Alex Almanzar.
Here.
Ejibola Balogun. Marcia Berry Smith. Maura Bowman. Michelle Coley. Beth Daly. Is here. Beth Daly's here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Luke Harrigan is here. Parnell Joyce.
Here.
Christopher Kresman.
Here.
Mike Pearson.
Here.
Nathan Perlmutter.
Here.
Commissioner Rogers. What would be Ralph Stone? Today we have Suzanne Weiss with us from Housing Finance. Thank you for stepping in for Ralph. And Tanisha Taylor. Okay, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Sue. Next up, we have our Broward Next Administrative Rules document, Article 3, Redevelopment Units, and Article 5, In Lieu Payments. Dawn Tietzel.
Hi,
welcome.
I'm Dawn Tietzel from the Broward County Planning Council. This is my colleague, Deanne Von Statina, also from the Planning Council. And I'm just here to talk about the changes to the Administrative Rules, Article 3 and Article 5. Article 3 has been updated to reflect a provision of redevelopment units for any allocation. Previously, you could just come, I'm so sorry. Yes, for the redevelopment units. And previously, the first allocation for the 500 or fewer, you may not had to have made a affordable housing commitment. And now we've just shifted that to any redevelopment allocation includes some level of affordable housing.
Awesome.
Yes, that was a request of the County Commission, so we took some swift action to be able to make that come to fruition.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yes.
It was adopted yesterday.
It was.
Okay, excellent. Fantastic, that's great news.
And then Article 5 is just updating the in lieu of fee to align with another one of our incentive-based policies in the plan. Policy 216-4, often referred to as the Geller policy, has a 10,609 dwelling unit in lieu of fee that's applicable to every unit in the project if there's not a set aside. That fee increases annually every year and would create much more of an in lieu base if a policy 216-2 cannot be met by the local government. Right now that fee stands at $1 per square foot, so it's much, much lower, and we just feel like it creates less conflict in the plan to have the same in lieu of fee across the board, and that's set to be considered for adoption in September.
Fantastic.
That's
Thank
it.
You very much. That's all you have?
That's everything.
Oh, wow. That was a quick presentation. It is very important stuff.
Mr. Chair,
go ahead, Parnell.
Could you please go over in summary again, Article 3, what I missed a part of it. Did you say anything redeveloped under certain, everything has to include some affordable now?
I'm so sorry. So redevelopment units are a way for local governments to increase their density. And they actually have to come to the county to apply for a pool of redevelopment units. And so since it's an incentive-based policy, the commission thought this was a really good way to sort of get our local government partners to provide affordable housing. So it's not redevelopment that is just naturally occurring at a local level, but if you're coming to the county and you're asking for these redevelopment units, we ask for a set aside now.
Right. Okay, thank you, that's clear.
Any other questions?
Sorry, I'm a little bit unfamiliar with the in lieu of fees and how they stand, but I've only dealt with them kind of on the periphery. Are we saying that they're going to be standardized to a lower cost now, or did I might have misunderstood?
No worries. They are going to be standardized to the same cost. So policy to a higher cost, but to the same across the board. So the in lieu of fee right now is not applicable to, of course, every project. Policy 216-2 is only for county land use plan amendments that are adding 100 or more dwelling units when a local government cannot show that they're meeting policy 216-2, which provides a menu of options for how local governments are addressing the provision of affordable housing. So actually most local governments are very capable of meeting the policy, but as you may know, some local governments do struggle or they are not as interested in applying affordable housing programs across the board. So this just gives an applicant, be it a local government or a private party, a buyout. And now instead of a dollar per square foot, it would be the $10,609 that would increase annually.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. It was great info.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Can I ask you to really quickly, just because it was something I thought was interesting, Senate Bill 180 that passed, at one point, I think there was a concern that that legislation would keep these policies from moving forward, but they went forward. Can you just like super brief explain how we were able to move those through?
Super brief. So right now the administrative rules document is different than a policy in the plan. So it does not, it's not subject to state review. Also, these are incentive-based programs, so it's not more restrictive or burdensome, which is really one of the hugest limitations of Senate Bill 180. Because these are all incentive-based and optional for local governments to take advantage of, it's been easier for us to work through that with the county attorney's office and the planning council attorney.
Yeah, fantastic. Anything else? Well, thank you guys so much for being with us today. That's great news, certainly well received.
Great, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too, thank you.
Next up, I would entertain an approval for the June 27th meeting minutes that you have in your packet.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any corrections or discussion on the meeting minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. Meeting minutes are approved. Chair's report, I am going to skip over that item in the agenda as we wait for Marcia to show up. She's on her way. Okay. So we'll get to that momentarily. Before we move on from there, though, I would like to welcome Mike Pearson from Florida Association of Mortgage Professionals. Mike, if you would like to introduce yourself, say a few words, it would be appreciated.
Sure. Mike Pearson, representing the Florida Association of Mortgage Professionals. I work for a mortgage lender up in northern Fort Lauderdale, so excited to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for giving us your time. We'll move on to the director's report with Darby.
Well, I'm going to make this very simple. Being that we were just coming out of the commission session break and the legislative cycle is done, I don't really have anything interesting to report.
Okay.
Keep it real.
Hey, you know what? If there's nothing to say here, let's not waste the time. Thank you, Darby. As far as new business is concerned, approval of the proposed amendment to our meeting dates. So on the last page of your packet, you will see that the fall workshop is going to be happening on October 23rd. This is all on the back of your packet. So being that we've got the fall workshop scheduled for October 23rd, there's really no reason to have a meeting the following day, which would be on October 24th. So we would like to entertain moving that meeting to either October 31st or November 7th. I unfortunately will be out of town on November 14th. That date wouldn't work for me, but if that works best for everyone else, Beth can certainly take my place. But is there anybody see a date that they would prefer as far as the 31st, the 7th, or the 14th? Everybody wants to check their calendars.
Of course, that's the last year. Yes? There's one in December also.
December 12th.
Oh, yeah, got it.
Would you have one December 12th?
Just to clarify for the new members, it's been the county attorney and I have discussed this, but the workshop does not count as a regular meeting. And per the charter, we have to meet at least six times a year. So last year we did the same thing because the workshop date, we don't really know that when we set our meeting dates. And so we did change it to November last year. It's just an option for you all. And these are the days that the room is available. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Sue. Anybody have a suggestion? Would November 7th work for everyone?
Works for me.
We do it on the 31st. We can all come in dressed up in Halloween costumes.
That might be really fun. Candy. Oh, candy. Wait a minute. Candy.
You know what? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of leftover candy we could bring in on the 7th as well.
I'm just trying to figure out what a theme-based Halloween housing.
Oh, that could be so much.
Well, that is for us to decide. It looks like November 7th, everybody was nodding their heads. That's an okay date?
Sure.
Okay.
So can we go ahead and have a motion for that just to show that reflects
absolutely
that they were approved?
You okay with the 7th?
Yes.
Okay. You want to move that forward?
I move to make our meeting on November 7th.
Thank you, Beth.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Beth.
Second by
and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed to the 7th? Hearing none. We're moving it to November 7th. Thank you. Welcome, Tanisha. Tanisha, just to catch you up to speed, we just had a motion to move the October 24th meeting to November 7th because of the fall workshop that's going to happen on the 23rd, if you want to add that to your calendar. And I'm sure Sue will send out a reminder for that date as well. As far as old business is concerned, we do have discussion remaining for the Broward Housing Council annual fall workshop that is going to land on October 23rd. I know that I had a meeting with Sue and with Darby about some discussion topics. Darby, do you have any updates on what we spoke about?
I do not.
Okay.
The update we can give is that we do have confirmed for the 23rd, we have the same venue. We have Mangrove Hall out at Ann Cold Nature Center in Hollywood. We are still putting together our panel for our panelists. We do have one confirmed. I know that Ralph shared with me that he has some ideas. So I'll be speaking with him next week. And I know Darby's had some, we have some ideas in the works.
Wonderful.
Again, with the proposed format being similar to our first workshop, which was a table of panelists, about an hour's worth of conversation, Q&A, and then there were some breakout workshop, actual working table breakout sessions. I believe that was, Michelle Coley suggested that at the last meeting. And then for further kind of think tank, and then they'll come back and present their findings. So that's where we're working with right now. Michelle committed, thank you, Michelle, for committing to sponsor City National Bank to sponsor the breakfast again. That's
okay.
What we have.
Fantastic. I would.
And it's thank you.
Absolutely.
Also, one more thing, we will be issuing the save the date shortly. We are finishing up the design of that, and that will be going out as well.
Okay. So just as a reminder, at the last meeting, we did have a theme put into place, future-proofing Broward, building resilient communities through housing innovation. The breakout sessions, well, like we said, that think tank format again. We had talked about potential speakers, Marty Kerr from Broward County Property Appraiser's Office being one. That is still up in the air. Patrice Paldino is confirmed, correct? Okay. And I would like the record to reflect that Michelle Cawley is being sponsoring breakfast from City National Bank. So we certainly appreciate everything that they are doing to make this a success as well. Does anybody have any potential speakers or ideas that they think would fit the theme that we could begin working on now, hopefully to get them lined up for the fall workshop? Anybody that you think that might be able to bring some knowledge to the table and really spark the conversation and get it going for us?
Chris, what was the theme again?
The theme for this year, future-proofing Broward County, building resilient communities through housing innovation, really looking to Ralph Stone, I'm sure, is going to be able to bring in some fantastic people because that really is in his wheelhouse as far as building, financing, all the players that are in Broward County that are really making moves in this space. Yes, ma'am.
Could we,
your mic on here.
Thank you, Chairman Chris. Could we find somebody who does tiny homes or modular homes? Is that something that our county has looked into?
I think that could be a great idea.
A builder of some.
We do have.
There is someone I know that I have his name, and I have to look it up. But he's been proposing these. Well, actually, he did the shipping container home, so that's a little different. We're talking more of the tiny homes, and then
shipping containers
and, you know, what any other things that the commission has considered before.
I've seen a few container homes pop up in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Middle River has.
Absolutely.
Also, somebody to talk about ADUs and their viability in Broward County, because there are a lot of people. I sold a home this year with a 13,000 square foot lot. It was actually a double lot. And in speaking to him, he's an attorney from Miami, I said, you could more than likely put an ADU on the back of this for his mom. So.
We had recently, maybe it was two meetings ago, did we have a presentation from AARP, or is that a different board that I was in?
Different board.
Okay.
That's good.
That could be a good presentation as well, because they had put in an entire study on the viability of ADUs, and I know that there has been some legislation changes, has there not, with allowing ADUs in Broward County?
Yes, there has been.
Well, yeah, I mean, statewide, they've done some things at the state level, and to try to loosen that up. The reaction across the various different cities is a bit mixed, even within our own BMSD, in terms of how it applies. So we're kind of waiting to see how that works itself out.
Okay.
We could have just like a development panel with those speakers. I know I have a lot of clients that build larger projects. They could talk about the kind of micro units in the apartment buildings they're building, or the kind of modular, bringing it together in pieces to build a faster type thing. So I could definitely bring a developer client to be on that panel, but that would be separate from like the ADU and the smaller,
okay,
you know, tiny units.
Well, I mean, it's things like that, forward-thinking people that we could certainly use. If you can, please get with Sue later on and have a discussion on that, and we can get that ball rolling.
Okay, sounds good.
I think that would be helpful and something that's outside the box.
Yep. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Nathan.
Yep.
Anyone else have ideas for the panel? Okay. Well, we will continue working on that for October. If anybody does have anything that they think of between now and then, please get with Sue and Darby between now and October, because we are not going to have another meeting then. So anybody that we can get that's going to make this event more fruitful will certainly be well worth your effort. That being said, we will move on to public comment, if there is any, while we wait for Marcia. Here we go.
Look at her.
We'll pause here. Welcome, Marcia.
We miss you. Sweet girl. Is there a center or a...
Yeah, we had him last year, and he was fantastic. Welcome, Marcia.
Hi.
Look at the way you're walking, like a gymnast.
Well, I'm faking it.
Girl.
Welcome. Certainly happy to have you here. With that being said, once you get settled in, we will get to the chair's report. I would like to just start by saying thank you so much for all of your years of service on the Housing Council. Your passion for what we do here is certainly has not gone unnoticed, and it's made major changes in Broward County. So for that, we certainly thank you. Beth and I, on behalf of the whole Housing Council, would like to present you with our certificate of appreciation.
I couldn't figure out how to open. Yeah, I couldn't figure out that. I'm sorry.
Too technical.
Pretty much.
Thank you so very much for all of your years of service on the
picture anyway, so we might as well take that now.
I can take the picture. Well, I know that wasn't protocol to disrupt a meeting for a photo, but I thought that it was fitting.
Your meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Well, you know what? Everybody was in agreement, so that's how we roll here. That being said, Marcia, if you do have anything to say, we'd welcome comment from you.
All of you, some of your faces are new in this environment to me, but I don't think that there is anything that I have been more proud of than the team, and especially Sue and Deb, Keith, and of course Joe, and now Darby. Thank you. So just to everyone, Jamie Ross, as you know, we lost this week an icon in affordable housing. But to all of you, I say that until my last breath, I will fight, I will advocate, and I will educate those who don't know what it means to be homeless, those who don't know what it means to be overburdened with housing and food costs. And I hope that I will have all of you with me in the trenches until. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you so much. Okay, that puts us to now public comment. Do we have members of the public that wish to speak?
Well, I have my staffer.
Okay.
Consider him my staffer, but he's a member of the public for this conversation that
Certainly.
We're having. He'll be talking about his world experience, at least that goes out the world. Right? So his world experience has been delved into trying to help.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. Please just state your name for the record, and please go ahead.
Certainly. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mr. Chair, former Chair, of course, Madam Commissioner, and the members of the Council. My name is Dwight Hinkson. Currently, I am, right now, I'm wearing the hat of President of Las Vistas and Inverary Condominium Association. And I just wanted to share some experiences that I had over the past year. As you would all know, that the House Bill 1029 established the My Safe Florida Condo pilot program that originally allocated about $3 million for this program to share among all the condominiums in the state of Florida for hardening. Back in November, the funds were released for condominiums to actually apply for that grant. I believe it was the mid-November sometime. I was ecstatic, and I went in to apply. Because this was my first time applying, I didn't apply in one sitting. Within 3-4 days, those funds were completely exhausted. So it was gone. I was happy to hear that there is going to be another opening. And I believe on their website, it mentioned that on July 1st, that they'll be accepting grant applications for the MySafe Florida Condo program. When I went to apply, apparently that was only for those associations that got the inspection mitigation done. They can then apply. So again, here we're waiting. I got a email because once I didn't get to apply, I signed up for the alerts. And I recommend that everyone that don't get anything, you sign up for alerts. Maybe 4 or 5 days prior, I got an email stating that they'll be opening applications again on the 18th. So I was very happy for that. I know Madam Commissioner made sure that we shared it with our condo population in our district and around. And at 12:01, I'm trying to make sure I'm applying, but there's nothing. At 8 o'clock, I got an email in the morning that it's open. The portal is now open. So that's when I started the application process. I'm trying not to make any mistakes because I know that if you make a mistake, you'll probably get booted. And there are hundreds of thousands of condo associations that would like this. I did get an interruption. When I went back, it was within, I say, about 2 hours. It was gone. So, yes, there there is funding that they announced, but we are in dire straits. And in terms of trying to get funding for these programs, it seems to be an uphill battle. There's some relief out there, but you have to be lucky enough to get it. Some of my lessons learned is that if you're going to do this, number one, you have to make sure you have the alerts. Number two, all of your paperwork, line that up front. And from a contracts person that I've dealt with, they say the best thing to do is load all your documents first, then go through and fill out the application. Try not to have any spaces, any interruptions, because there's so much need that you want to make sure that you get everything done right then and right there. And that's been my experience. So I'm waiting for the next tranche of funds to be released again. And I learned the hard way, and it won't happen again. That's my story.
Mr. Dwight, he's taking that message on the road. So you're the first. Thank you. Thanks, Dwight. And Mr. Chair, he is taking that message on the road. I've released hours to get that information out to my district. But it's for everyone, because we need to find a way to make sure we're getting some of those dollars here in Broward County or South Florida. We have partners, the Tri-County area, Realtors Association, all of those groups. It's good to have the Mortgage Bankers Association, here, former mortgage broker, former real estate person. So I understand the challenges. Whenever we are receiving the calls, I've lost my house to foreclosure. All I could have done was put funding into Coast to Coast legal services, right? And of course we have the legal aid, but it's never enough. And if we are not advocating for condo rehab, I don't care how we create the funding, what partnership we make with the lenders to know these are properties that are already in the affordable housing category, because you can't afford anything else but condos. But those that are buying can't afford the special assessment that when you prorate, I still have to pay money for something that was not maintained properly. So we're looking for voices, we're looking for advocates for the condo associations. When I started on this committee, no one wanted to talk about homeownership option, which was just rentals. But when you're using CRA funding, it's coming from cities that did not use their excess dollars, or they're retiring their CRA, and the CRA covered more than just rental units, So we can't just take all the money and put it into rental. So I'm hearing a different conversation now, a more inclusive conversation around homeownership option and the pride it brings. And we have to be careful. All of these condos, these rental units that we're doing, they look pretty now. But if we don't have the right agreements, they will be a nightmare for our communities if they are not managed right for the 30 years that they have it. And even when they transfer it, if it's not written in the developer's agreement or whatever agreement, that you're still responsible for making sure and taking care of these units. And that is our voice that I think is needed.
Madam Commissioner, if I may.
Go ahead, Dwight.
One point I forgot to mention is that the Condominium Association that I'm the president of is a 55-plus community. So a majority of the residents are actually on fixed incomes.
Oh.
So what happens is that the main cost is insurance. That's the main driver of the cost. So that's another reason we're trying to get as much funds as we can to help with mitigating the insurance costs. The good news is that we're able to, plan to have our roofs redone, which that's helping a lot. But there are other cost mitigating factors that we'd like to do. And for 55 plus communities, not only in Las Vistas, but across Broward County and South Florida to be exact, they're going to have similar issues, especially with older buildings, because the maintenance costs are going to be a little higher. So that's where we are. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Dwight. Marcia.
Thank you. His name escapes me, but we had a state representative at our...
Jason Pizzo.
Pizzo, correct. He gave us his cell phone number, which I made a note of, and promised that any calls to him, he would follow up and see through. Has anyone in here taken advantage of that? I know I did. Did anyone else call him or invoke his help, as he suggested?
No, but that might be a good resource for Dwight and all of his condo owners.
Okay. That's correct. The reason I hesitated to suggest moving that upwards is that I am not sure just how much he can accommodate or help. And oftentimes we mean well, but it may not be a bad idea to reach back out to him and say, you made us this promise, this offer last a year ago, and have Mr. Hinkson explain to him his own process and the struggles he's had, and perhaps see if this is something he'd like to follow through on, since he was bold enough to share his personal self. So perhaps you can provide Mr. Hinkson with that, and maybe you can get back to us next meeting as to how that worked out.
Okay. I'll answer for Dwight, because we started as a district project, and because he is in a condo, he got carte blanche from me to try and help. That's in my district, try and help that community. And we are working, we have a group that is working and following legislations that are being advanced. And yes, we don't even have to call the senator to see how he's voting on the issues that are affecting us, because it's public information. We can get that that, and we should. If they are coming before us, or we are using them as guest speakers and they're advocating on our behalf, this group can look at their voting record and come back and say, but they're telling us, and what they're doing in Tallahassee, because we can't be in those meetings, might just be different. So I would like to see if we can track his voting record on the housing issues and to see where he stands. if he's really advocating on our behalf.
Thank you, Commissioner. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you, Chris. I was thinking maybe it would be nice to invite him to our workshop again.
Again?
He was wonderful.
Track is
Maybe he's tuned in listening to us right now. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Hickson, what is the scope and nature of your special assessments? What does your condo need?
Thank you very much for that question. We just actually completed our Sears study. We have specifics regarding that. We just finished our 50-year inspection. The main need right now, according to that, is the catwalks. There's a lot of spalding going on with the catwalks and balconies. Because, again, this is for a building that's since 1974, 75, 78, 79, when those buildings, the 13 buildings, a clubhouse, 431 units on 17 acres. So it's a pretty big community. Again, mostly 55, it is 55 plus, so mostly on fixed income. So that's the main priority right now. Of course, any type of hurricane mitigation, whether it's windows, doors, we would be open to having funding for that as well.
Mr. Hickson, when you fill out that application, does the application allow you to save it for future use, or do you have to redo it every time?
It does allow you to save, but when I went back in, it was closed because the funds are gone. They had enough applications. This is the second time, so I have two application numbers that I have. One from November and now one from Monday.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Beth, go ahead.
I assisted a young lady who, actually an older lady, a waitress from La Bamba, to do this last year. And we uploaded all of her documents, and there was one mistake on her husband's name, and she didn't get it. So when it opened this year, I was right with her, and we went in, everything was gone. So we had to start over. So, and she didn't have what she needed right there, and by the time we got back together 2 days later, it was late.
Okay.
So the article that I brought is interesting, and it's saying that Governor DeSantis asked for $590 million, but $280 million was granted this time. And that the $590 million was intended to fund grants for about 10,000 new applicants and 45,000 existing applicants who underwent the required windstorm mitigation inspections last year, left in limbo because the existing funds were all committed. So grant applications for those 45,000 who've completed their initial windstorm mitigation inspection, verified their age and income, will be processed under the rules this year of the moderate income homeowner.
Okay, well, thank you for that update. I do know that thousands of realtors are going to be in Orlando next week for a lot of committee meetings, but a public policy committee meeting that'll sort of craft the message of what is needed in our communities when they go to Tallahassee for Great American Realtor Days in the at the end of the winter. So hopefully we could make a little more headway with pushing our legislators to get some additional funding for that Hometown Heroes program and the My Safe Florida Home program. Any other comment or questions? Yes, ma'am. Please, yeah, come to the podium and just state your name for the record.
I got to bring it way down. Good morning, everyone. My name is M. Denise Simmons. I am a franchise owner of a home care agency, Wisdom Senior Care, and newly in partnership in providing affordable housing for seniors and vets and those who are on a fixed income. So my background, I have been a caregiver for both my parents for over 15 years, in which led me to this path of, you know, wanting to give back the services that I wish I'd had, the support system, especially for those adult children that are trying to navigate this new space of being a parent to their aging parents. And so we've been doing this for a few years now through our agency, and we've been constantly getting calls, even though we're providing personal care for seniors in their homes, but we get calls like seniors looking for housing, and they're just in crisis, we all know. And so my husband and I decided to, okay, let's be the solution. Let's try to be the solution to this problem. And so we opened up Grace and Love and Rich Living. It's a supportive house community for those who are on a fixed income. So I just come here as to be a support system, to see how we as small business owners who are locally trying to fight the fight with you all in providing affordable housing. So we're here. Our rooms start at $750. We provide all the accommodations. They're fully furnished. All utilities are included. They just have to be on a fixed income. And so I'm just here to see how I can be of service. We have a home opening up in September in North Lauderdale. And so just wanted to see what I can do, who to partner up with, how to be a resource. I have a lot of partners that are doing the same work, and we're just looking to see how we can, as small business owners, because as an entrepreneur, very solution-oriented. We see the problem, let's try to fix it. And so I think partnering up with our local municipalities and government is a great way. So, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so very much. Mr. Harrington, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask you, what age does she start up?
So I have a heart for seniors, so it's 55 and plus.
And also, you said fixed income. Can you elaborate on that for us, please?
Yes, so vets, those who are receiving pension, Social Security, SSID, and they can be able to live on their own. But if they need some support, we do have community access to community partners that can be able to support them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you for being here, and what a wonderful mantle you've taken up. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank
you. Are you having a single family home and then renting the rooms out?
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome. Okay.
So shared accommodations.
Yes.
Well, thank you very
Chair,
much.
Chair, if you don't mind, we'll get your contact information. We can get you in contact with the Haas group that deals with a lot of the homelessness. Just talk to Sue after the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay. Seeing none, our next Broward Housing Council meeting date has been changed. So that is going to be on November 7th, 2025. That being said, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.
There you go.